Hi, everybody. Before we begin, let's just start by making ourselves comfortable wherever we are situated, just so that we can be at ease, not maybe fall asleep, but alert enough to listen, but relaxed enough to be at peace. So here's the theme for today: compassion fatigue, frustration, and anger. Coming home to ourselves in the way of Thich Nhat Hanh. So it's been an increasingly tough time for lovers of peace, justice, and environmental concerns. For those of us who care about equality, fairness, due process, and democracy itself. And there is so much suffering going on, even as there is also much that is good and helpful. Speaking for me these past months, there are times when I have had difficulty holding on to optimism and keeping anger in check, anger that can become sarcastic or judgmental about how others think and what they do. I do try to hold on to John Lewis's oft-repeated, do not get lost in a sea of despair. Be hopeful, be optimistic, as he reminds us that finding justice is the struggle of a lifetime, and I would say many lifetimes. Or Dr. King's beautiful image of the long arc of the moral universe. And Ruth King's conviction that racism is a heart disease, and it's curable. While these words always inspire, I've been struggling these days looking for a way to shape a path forward, not succumbing to frustration, hopelessness, or anger, but forging ahead with purpose and positive energy, even when things are not going in the direction that I would wish. Wondering what the most skillful way might be, how to manage the frustration, the anger, and sometimes rage at particular institutions, corporations, court judges, politicians, and adults not wearing masks and not getting vaccinated. And I think of the language we sometimes use at rallies. What do we want? Justice. When do we want it? Now. That passion can feel addictive and also completely justified, because it's past time. I love that CTT has incorporated mindfulness as one of its important components, and I'm so grateful to this group for reminding us of how mindfulness can calm our strongest emotions, remind us of what is important, help us to heal when we are suffering, and give us wisdom and tools for our important work together. One of the things we're taught in mindfulness practice that arises from the Buddhist tradition is the concept of clinging or attachment. To desire or even expect a result that we feel is what we desperately want or are owed. A way of getting hooked on a path to what we perceive as happiness or justice. In meditation, we are asked to first notice and then begin to let go of our attachments of wanting something to be different than it really is. Well, when injustice towards others is what we want to be different, how do we think about that? How do passionate activists discern the differences between clinging to these desires and letting go, turning towards peacefulness? How can they coexist? I turned to some favorite sources for a way to think more deeply about this. Our passion for justice and the impatience for a particular outcome. It might prioritize anger or attachment to my beliefs and desired outcomes at the expense of the calmness and peace for which I also yearn. Perhaps there are others of you who have at times experienced a similar discord. In speaking about rage in her prescient book, Healing Rage, Ruth King reminds us, we may not always experience peace, but peace is always present. It is the white space in between the black letters on this page. Imagine rage as a storm cloud and the sky as your own experience of peace. Do you fight the storm or pause and witness the miracle? Will fighting make the storm go away? As you look at the clouds, do you trust that a sky is beyond them? Do you trust that the clouds will eventually blow over and the sky will reappear? What naturally wants to reveal itself when the clouds of your disguises clear? To heal rage, we need only to be still, to breathe deeply, soften our belly, and open our hearts to a sacred exploration of rage. This afternoon, I was driving home from another event, and the sky just opened up and there were clouds, and within the clouds, there were these beautiful patches of blue. And it was amazing after reading this quotation from Ruth King, how it made sense. And I actually felt better just driving home before I turned on my Zoom with Tom. I often turn to Thich Nhat Hanh, often called Thai by his followers, for his wisdom and experience, recalling being told of his being so rageful at the Americans during the Vietnamese War that he would have to sit in meditation all day to try to bring himself to peacefulness. Through this practice, he would find a way to distill that rageful energy into something else, a sense of peacefulness, even when things were seemingly not going well. And while the roots for this idea lay deep within ancient Buddhist teachings, Thay is credited for developing the contemporary concept of engaged Buddhism that is practiced today. Engagement is a powerful process because one cannot be engaged alone. It encourages us to remember the power of relationship. And this is so consistent with the values explicit in coming to the table, in healing harm, and in the sacredness of dialogue. I am grateful to Bruce Mitchell, the leader of a local sangha in the way of Thich Nhat Hanh, for guidance to several references. Bruce reminded me of Thay's teaching on the importance of letting go, including our idea of happiness or of any condition we may want to achieve, that running after what we think we may want can actually be the cause rather than the result of our suffering. So it's a matter of perspective. In the spirit of Ruth King, we might sometimes remember to focus on the magnificent sky rather than the storm. Bruce also offered a quote by the American peace pilgrim, Mildred Lizette Norman, that says, "All who act upon their highest motivations becomes a power for good. It is not important that others be noticeably affected. Results should never be sought or desired. Know that every right thing you do, every good word you say, every positive thought you think has good effect." And our own Fran Sutton Williams inspired me through an email 3 days ago with this beautiful Brazilian proverb, "Soft water on hard stone hits until it bores a hole," describing the linked notions of resilience and perfect perseverance, the powerful impact of small actions over time. I love that. Lastly, Bruce suggested I view two YouTube videos of Thay speaking to others that might give me some insight. These videos are entitled "How to Deal with Anger and Despair as an Activist" and "How to Fight Injustice Without Being Consumed with Anger." Tai spoke about fear, anger, and despair as kinds of toxins, saying that these pollutants inside of us will not help the pollution outside. He spoke about a need for compassion for even those with whom one is the angriest. Here are some of Tai's own words in these videos. I found them helpful in speaking to my own questions, and perhaps you too will find some resonance in them. This is Tai speaking. When you see people doing bad things, you must feel sorry for them. Give them compassion such that you are not angry at them anymore. True activists have to live to set an example. Your life becomes an example. To write angry letters of protest is not as effective as to write a love letter. You will touch the very best thing in the politician and the leader, and you may wake them up, and they may change their course, their idea of happiness. If you don't know how to suffer less or how to nourish yourself with joy and happiness, then you will be like everyone else and you cannot help. A way to suffer less so that you can help other people who suffer more is in the practice of mindfulness. There are many refreshing and healing elements of nature around and in us. And if you know how to get in touch with them, you can get the nourishment and healing you need. And then you become one instrument of healing for others around you. So the practice is to preserve ourselves, not to allow ourselves to be overwhelmed by the situation of suffering all around. The practice of mindful breathing, mindful walking, and allowing yourself to be mindfully present in the here and now is very important. If we can just stop running, looking for things, we can allow ourselves to be really present in the here and now. Around us, there may be a lot of anger, bitterness, and resentment. And if we don't know how to nourish ourselves, we will be overwhelmed by that collective negative energy. So take good care of yourself. It's very important. Go home to yourself. There is a safe island within. We have to do this by the way of mindful breathing and mindful walking, and we can calm down our body, our feelings, and begin to find peace. And then we will be able to see things more clearly. We will know what to do and what not to do in order not to make the situation worse. And we can realize that only one in-breath and one mindful step can already help to bring a little bit more of calm, of peace, so that we do not give up. We see that hope is always there, and we don't feel powerless, helpless. And that is exactly what makes us hopeful. The problem is not only what you can do. You are motivated by the desire to do something to help the world suffer less. But to do is just one of the things you can do. To be is another way of doing. If you can be relaxed, if you can be peaceful, if you can be compassionate, that is a lot of action already. The way you sit and look at the people can already be very helpful. If you have peace, tranquility, compassion, then your presence is already helpful. To be peace first and to do peace later. And then there is the factor of Sangha. If you have friends who know how to be relaxed, peaceful, to be fresh and healthy, then together you can create a powerful collective energy of peace, joy, and happiness that can rescue many people. That collective energy has already begun to contribute to the world. So the answer is how to protect oneself from being carried away by the collective energies of hate, violence, bitterness, or anger. How to create an island of peace and freshness and compassion within. And then if there is a group of people who can do that, then they can be a refuge for many other people. That is why building a group of practitioners is very, very important. Now it's Anne talking again. I do believe that the meditation working group and the emphasis on meditation as a healing agent at CTTT is a sangha. So now let us settle ourselves in whatever position is most comfortable, sitting or lying down. If sitting, straightening your spine, not in a rigid way, but allowing the breath and the energy to flow more easily. Placing your feet uncrossed on the floor of the ground or the ground if you're outside, and creating an opportunity to feel connected and grounded, being aware of how that contact feels. Closing the eyes if that feels comfortable, or softening the gaze if eyes are open. Becoming aware of the breath, slow and steady. Breathing in and breathing out. Paying attention to the slowing rise and fall of the breath. Beginning to notice the pause between breathing in and breathing out and breathing in again. That pause is a golden point, a hesitation, a trusting that the body will on its own breathe again. Pondering on this pause, this trust, noting how it feels for you. And shifting your attention to the body, becoming aware of any tension that you might be holding, and gently bringing your attention to that place, perhaps encouraging it to soften through the breath, exploring, understanding. You might even find that there is a place of discomfort, dis-ease, beyond tension. You might bring your attention to this place and just explore for a moment the nature of this discomfort without trying to change it. Just being with the sensation, the feeling, as you breathe in and out, noticing if there are any changes in the sensation or not. And perhaps also becoming aware of thoughts that arise, which is what brains often do. And once this awareness occurs, gently bringing your attention back to the breath without self-judgment, letting it go and just breathing. Breathing in, then breathing out. We will do this in silence for a few minutes. And now I invite you to bring your attention to the topic we explored earlier, disappointment or anger, and how slow the process of justice can be. Finding hope and considering the nature of attachment to outcome. Perhaps taking the time to reflect on how this is for you at this time. Are you experiencing a struggle? Have you found a way to manage it? Was there something expressed by Ruth King, the Peace Pilgrim, Franz Brazilian, quote, or Thich Nhat Hanh, that had any resonance for you? So take some time now to reflect in a quiet, meditative way, maintaining the grounding with your feet and maintaining a slow and gentle inhale and exhale with a soft body. And now will come a time when I invite you to share if you want to. I will call some names, and if you're not going to share, just say pass, and that's something people do.